It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Man, what a great ending to that game. I cannot believe Russell Westbrook drove the length of the court in like 3 seconds, hit the layup, got fouled, and was able to sink the free throw to give the Rockets the win 126-125 over the New York Knicks on the road.
The five stages of grief are a way of describing how people may react to a loss. Denial is a refusal to believe the loss is real. The brain protects itself until it has more time to absorb and process difficult news.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked on Rockets, where we are definitely not in denial about losing to the New York Knicks in New York, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I am your host, definitely not in denial, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here, like not being in denial, please do me a favor. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts, especially the ones where the host isn't in denial about a terrible loss. Please follow us, subscribe to us, drop us some stars, leave us a review if you've got the time. I would sincerely appreciate it. The Rockets won. Isn't it great, guys? The Rockets didn't have an embarrassing loss against the Knicks. They won, and they won off of Russell Westbrook's heroics in the final play of the game. It was phenomenal. A beautiful finish, an and-one layup to secure the W. Only they didn't. They lost for a bunch of stupid reasons.
Anger may come after we admit the loss actually happened. This emotion can be directed at any number of targets. It may range anywhere from frustration to fury.
What kind of a performance was that? I mean, you come out with zero effort, zero initiative, zero urgency about winning this game, and you go down as many as 21 points to the New York Knicks. To the team that is owned by James Dolan. To the team that is such a dumpster fire, other dumpster fire teams make fun of them. You come out with no urgency. James Harden shot 3 of 13 from behind the arc, so he's 7 of 30 for his last 33-point shots. That is horrible. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat right now. Russell Westbrook twisted his ankle first play of the game and then seemingly forgot how to pass the basketball. 6 turnovers on the evening. The supposed do-your-job mob decided not to show up until the fourth quarter. And even then, only half of them showed up. Eric Gordon and Ben McLemore, thank goodness. Austin Rivers, goose egg. PJ Tucker, goose egg. Jeff Green, 4 points, -8. Team worst, -8 on the evening. We've been had by Jeff Green, damn it. But you know what? Maybe if they had done a few things differently, we could be talking about a W right now.
During the bargaining stage, we attempt to strike a deal with ourselves, or a higher power, to cope with our pain. Guilt is also common during this stage, as we dwell on past events, searching for things we could have done differently.
So let's go ahead and add the New York Knicks to the list of bad teams that have beaten the Rockets this season. The Detroit Pistons and the Derrick Rose game, the Sacramento Kings and the Bjelica buzzer beater, the San Antonio Spurs game, otherwise known as Dunkgate, in which you were leading by 22 points, the Phoenix Suns game right after the huge win on the second night of a back-to-back from the LA Lakers game, and then also, let's not forget, the Christmas Day disappointment against the Golden State Warriors on national television. Maybe they just needed to not get out-rebounded by 31, 65 to 34 in the rebounding department, or specifically lose out on so many offensive rebounds where the Knicks were plus 12, 20 to 8 in the offensive rebounding department. Maybe they needed to not turn the ball over as much. Maybe they just needed to stop giving the Knicks so many easy points in the paint, 64-36 in favor of New York. The Rockets were giving up so many different layups and dunks, just miscommunications. I don't know how many wide open dunks I saw in this one. To the Knicks of all teams. It's honestly, it's a little sad.
The deep sadness of depression sets in when we realize the loss has really happened and our life is forever changed. This kind of depression is a natural response for most people experiencing loss. It is not a sign of mental illness.
The Rockets lost for the first time in Madison Square Garden since 2009. The last time the Rockets lost there, Yao Ming was still playing for the Houston Rockets. James Harden has been undefeated at MSG. Madison Square Harden, remember that? He's been undefeated at MSG in his time as a Houston Rocket. This is his first loss there. They have owned the Knicks historically. I'm starting to think we may never see James Harden shoot well from behind the three-point line ever again. Russell Westbrook's ankle injury might be so bad that they have to amputate his entire lower leg. And hell, if I were the Rockets, I would just leave Austin Rivers in New York. Don't even bring him back to Houston. You know what? I think I'm being a little bit too doom and gloom, and I think I'm starting to see the light, and maybe this loss isn't the end of the world.
Reaching the stage of acceptance doesn't mean our grief is over. We understand the loss has happened and we can't change it. Accepting this doesn't mean we feel good about it. If you're grieving, you may recognize some of these feelings, but you may not be experiencing them in any particular order. The truth is, grief does not always follow a specific path. Your journey might feel more like you're all over the place, and that's okay. The five stages of grief aren't directions. They're just a starting point to help you understand some of what you might be feeling as you go through a period of serious change in your life.
And now that we have power cycled through the first four stages of grief, we will focus on accepting this loss for what it is, coming up here in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. And after going over our five stages of grief, moving into the acceptance stage, we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets' regrettable falling to the New York Knicks, 125-123. Knicks improved to 19-42 on the season. They pick up their 10th win at Madison Square Garden. The Rockets fall to 39-21 on the season, now 18-13 on the road. Hope you guys at least got a couple chuckles out of that first segment. I had to find a way to somehow deal with the frustrations of this loss, and I thought maybe powering through the stages of grief really quickly would be a fun way to do it. But I will kind of start this off by saying I don't think this loss is a bad loss per se. Obviously, it's not great. It's the Knicks. You lost to the damn Knicks. That's not great. That's never going to be a good thing. But it's not one of those losses that I'm worried about the overall ramifications of it, you know, regarding the rest of the season. Now, yes, does it have impacts as far as potential seeding goes? Absolutely. This loss plus all the other losses that I listed off in that first segment, all those losses against bad teams will impact the Rockets' seeding at the end of the season. We may be looking down the barrel at one of those, you know, weird, okay, who wins what game, and then suddenly all the, you know, playoff seeding slides around at the end of the season. We might have another one of those situations on our hands because of the number of losses that they've racked up to bad teams this year. But as far as how they played in this game, it was just, really, it was a lack of energy that was compounded by poor offense, which was then compounded by the fact that the Knicks are just a bigger, stronger, hungrier team in this one specifically than the Rockets were. You know, again, Russell Westbrook and James Harden post-game, both of them cited effort and energy issues in this game. They weren't worried about the shots that they missed at the end of the game. James Harden with the chance to, you know, take the lead with the layup, and then Russell Westbrook with the chance to tie it there at the very end. neither of them were worried about that. Their worries stemmed from the overall lack of energy or intensity at the beginning of this game. It was a lot like the Celtics game. Really, in the Celtics game, that first half from the Rockets was pretty abysmal, and then they came out and they had a strong third quarter. In this one, it was basically the first three or so quarters, maybe two and a half quarters, because they kind of turned it on about halfway through that third period, where they really struggled, and then they turned on the Jets. They just turned them on a little bit too late. I mean, they outscored the Knicks 32-24 in the final frame. But the issue when you decide to turn on the Jets that late, in the Celtics game, you pick up the pace, you actually get into the game, you pick up your defense, the intensity, all of that in the third quarter. That's great because you still have that final 12 minutes to try and win the game. In this one, you picked up the intensity just a little bit too late, to the point where those shots that were happening, the chances to take the lead, to tie the game up at the end of the fourth quarter, those are pressure-filled moments now. Rather than those moments happening at the end of the third quarter, like they were against the Celtics, where then you go into the fourth quarter with a little bit of a buffer, a 3-4 point lead, whatever it was, and then you have a chance to ride out that lead to actually secure the W. This one, you're just fighting and clawing and scraping your way back into it basically the entirety of the game. The Rockets cut the lead to 2 twice in the fourth quarter, and then the Knicks were able to balloon the lead back up to, you know, 6, 7, 8 points, and then the Rockets had to cut it back down. That's exhausting, having to constantly fight your way back into a game. And they really didn't do themselves any favors. I mean, again, James Harden had a really, you know, dreadful shooting performance, 8 of 22, 3 of 13 behind the line. He was 16 of 16 free throw line, so I'm sure we'll see plenty of that on social media where, yeah, James Harden had 35 points, but how many times did he head to the free throw line? Russell Westbrook, decent night at the office for him. You know, not horrible, but it wasn't really offensively that they lost this game. They couldn't contain the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks had 64 points in the paint. Julius Randle dominated them. Between Randall, Gibson, and Robinson, I mean, those three guys tore up the Rockets on the boards. They had 39 rebounds across those three guys. Those three guys by themselves out-rebounded the entire Rockets team. So the Knicks as a whole, 65 boards. Rockets as a team, 34 rebounds. The only Rockets player that doesn't get any slander from this loss is Robert Covington, because that man had 20 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 6 of 11 from behind the arc. He had 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. No turnovers. Robert Covington did his job to a T. And in fact, Daniel House Jr. gets a teensy bit of slander for his lack of rebounding. But apart from that, Daniel House Jr. is also safe in this one. Even like Robert Covington out-rebounded everybody on the team combined, minus Russell Westbrook. So Covington had 13 boards. Westbrook had 9 boards. Everybody else, PJ Tucker, 5. Daniel House Jr., 2. Harden, 2. Jeff Green played 14 minutes off the bench, didn't snag a single rebound. He's your backup center, didn't grab a single board. And then just 1 rebound apiece for Rivers, Gordon, and McLemore. So again, Robert Covington out-rebounded everybody on the Rockets not named Russell Westbrook combined. That can't happen. We've talked about it before that this team has to rebound by committee. And even with rebounding by committee, they're not going to out-rebound other teams. But the deficit of 31 rebounds, you deserve to lose at that point. You cannot give up that many rebounds, specifically the offensive rebounds. The Knicks had 20 offensive boards in this one. That is an insane number to think about. And because the Knicks were crashing the offensive glass so much, they had 21 second chance points. That's really hard to overcome. So again, I'm not so much worried about this loss, because you look at it, and if you want to call it an effort and intensity thing or playing down to your opponent, whatever you want to call it, I don't think we're going to see this version of the Rockets show up come playoff time. Because even against Boston, right? even against Boston. Anyways, even against the Celtics, they had, you know, this kind of lack of energy to start the game, but they picked it up and they were able to win. They were able to dial it in and come away with the W. And they did that even though their offense wasn't clicking. So now you have another night where your offense is a little bit better. You know, they didn't shoot as poorly from behind the arc in this one. And, you know, they were able to kind of get some things rolling along, but they just couldn't ever dig themselves out of the mud as far as out-rebounding or outworking the New York Knicks. I mean, when you've got Julius Randle devouring 16 rebounds on the game, a team-high 6 offensive rebounds for him, it's not much else you can do about it. I mean, I remember there was one possession there at the tail end of the game, somewhere in the fourth quarter. Julius Randle was backing down PJ Tucker, turned, spun, missed the shot, and then was the first one to the ball. And that's not usually, you know, PJ Tucker's usually better at boxing out than that. So I don't know if he was just exhausted. I don't know what was going on mentally with the team, but they're usually a lot better about rebounding than they were in this one. So I've hammered this point home quite a bit, the whole rebounding issue. I'll branch out and talk about some of the other elements from this game coming up in just 1 second, so don't go anywhere. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting about the Rockets' loss against the New York Knicks, snapping their 6-game win streak. So now they are riding a 1-game losing streak as they head into the biggest game of the season against and we've said that a lot lately, but this one upcoming against the Clippers this Thursday evening, definitely a lot of marbles on this one. A lot of marbles, but it's not for all the marbles, but it's an important game. There we go. I'm going to go with that. Anyways, kind of continuing on talking about this Knicks game. One, I was impressed with Ben McLemore in this one. There were a couple defensive possessions where Ben, you know, completely held his own, where he was active with his hands. And there were a couple times that I noticed, you know, he had one where he got crossed up pretty bad. But he didn't, you know, and I try my best to watch Ben actively on the court, but he didn't have, you know, too many moments where I felt like he had these defensive lapses in this game. Now, the Rockets as a whole had a lot of defensive lapses. I mean, I can't count the number of times that they, you know, the Knicks were getting so many wide open layups and dunks just off of slipping screens, because that's how you beat a switching defense. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, all the live long day before. How do you beat the Rockets switching defense? You slip the screens. That's it. That's the big secret to the switching defense. All you have to do is fake like you're setting a really strong screen, slip really quickly towards the basket, and it's game over, especially if you're playing 5-out basketball. Now, I do think that Damari Carroll could have been useful in this game, or even to a lesser extent, Thabo Sefolosha. And here's my reasoning for those two guys, is the only two players out there that were actively rebounding in this game were Robert Covington and Russell Westbrook. Covington with 13 rebounds, as previously mentioned, Russell Westbrook had 9 rebounds in this game. So those two guys are immune from the rebound slander. Everybody else wasn't working to rebound the ball, and that has to happen. You have to rebound by committee. So the reason that I'm saying that Thabo Sefolosha and Damari Carroll maybe should have gotten some playing time is because those guys have fresh legs. Those guys haven't been a part of the usual rotation, and if you plug those guys in, one, Thabo Sefolosha gives you a little bit more height, a little bit more length, could maybe help secure some of those rebounds that were getting tipped around, you know, amongst the New York Knicks' 17 power forwards. And then Damari Carroll, same thing. He gives you a little bit more length. He gives you a slightly bigger body, you know, a better defensive presence. And even though Ben McLemore did his job in this game, 3 of 6 three-point shooting, 9 points overall, I'm not even saying that Ben McLemore should have been the one to take a seat in this one. Austin Rivers had a big fat goose egg in this game. Austin Rivers wasn't getting the job done. But I feel like with small ball, D'Antoni needs to be more aware of how his team is, I guess, trending energy-wise, and he needs to realize it from the get-go. Or not from the get-go, but just early on. Because maybe early on, if he decides, okay, you know, they're looking a little stuck in the mud, they're not playing with enough gusto, whatever, let me plug in Tabo Cephalosha or Damari Carroll. Let me get them some fresh legs in there, somebody who hasn't been a part of the usual rotation, who can go in there and give some life to these guys. Or a little bit more size to help in the rebounding department. But that just didn't happen. And I genuinely don't know why. If I was Damari Carroll and I, you know, got a buyout from a team and went and signed with a new team expecting playing time, I'd be a little upset if I wasn't getting minutes, which he's not. You know, didn't play against Boston, didn't play against the Knicks. I'm frustrated for Damari Carroll, honestly. Kind of past that, PJ Tucker attempting only 1 3-point shot in this game is frankly unacceptable. And there were points where PJ Tucker caught the ball in the corner, could have taken a shot, and just hot potatoed it back to the next person standing on the 3-point line. That is not Rockets basketball. That type of mentality, the, you know, reluctance to shoot, the hesitancy to shoot the ball, that's why I was calling for Daniel House to be sat in the Celtics game, because he was 0 of 6 at one point from behind the arc and was becoming hesitant when it came to shooting the basketball. You just can't do that. You have to get the shots up because the Rockets rely on a certain amount of three-point math to be in their favor. And the math almost did play into their favor in this one. Yeah, they got killed on the offensive boards. Yeah, they got killed in the rebounding department overall. Yeah, they got killed in points in the paint, 64 to 36, but the Rockets hit 20 threes out of their 56 attempts, and the Knicks only hit 12 threes out of their 30 attempts. So the math was almost in favor of the Rockets. You know, a couple more shots swing their way, we could be talking about a different outcome to this game. But the Knicks did a good job. RJ Barrett, 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, he torched the Rockets. 10 of 18 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the arc. Julius Randle, again, 16 and 16. He had a monster game. And it feels like Julius Randle always has a monster game against the Rockets. I'm just going to throw that one out there. I remember opening night last season against the New Orleans Pelicans. I went to it with a buddy of mine who's a big Pelicans fan. He was actually on the podcast recently. He helped me do the All-Star break recap, Chris McGehee. But he's a huge Pelicans fan, and Julius Randle and Anthony Davis torched the Rockets in that game. They crushed the Rockets. So I feel like Julius Randle always has it out for the team. Even though he didn't have a phenomenal game, like shooting-wise, just 5 of 14 from the floor, 6 of 8 from the charity stripe, it feels like he dominates the Rockets every time they play against him, which I also just found out that Julius Randle has a nickname floating around the Knicks subreddit, which is Dubious Handle, which I think is absolutely hilarious. Also, Beyblade is his nickname too, apparently, because all he does is spin and then lose control of the ball. So some funny nicknames for Julius Randle there. But moving forward, PJ Tucker has to be at least willing to take his shots. Passing up on three-pointers in the Rockets offense leads to stagnant offense or, you know, last second rushed attempts by James Harden or Russell Westbrook. And he's got to be a better rebounder. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I know he does a lot for this team. He really is the X factor, but 5 rebounds for PJ Tucker, especially against a team like the Knicks where they've got a bunch of bigs. He had his work cut out for him. Robert Covington did his end, you know, held up his end of the deal. 13 boards for Covington, but PJ only securing 5 rebounds and not doing a solid enough job boxing out the bigs of the Knicks. Got to expect more from him. Russell Westbrook, you know, I mentioned his turnovers in the first segment as I was working through the stages of grief, but 6 turnovers for Westbrook. You know, some of those came off of some sloppy passes, but he also, it felt like he was forcing a bit too much, maybe, where there's this fine line for Westbrook where, you know, you think to the monstrous dunk that he had to pull the Rockets within 2, and, you know, he blasted through the Knicks in transition, you know, shot past 3 or 4 different Knicks players and then exploded to the rim for a dunk, right? That's huge. That's amazing. But then there's other times where Westbrook tries to take off in transition and he doesn't have the tightest handle in the league. He just doesn't. I don't know if it's because he's just moving too quickly for the ball or maybe it's the finger thing. I don't know. But Westbrook, I've never felt super comfortable in his ball handling. That's why when we were talking about best handles on the team, Westbrook's not in that conversation, unfortunately. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that Westbrook doesn't have, you know, necessarily elite handles for an elite guard. He's got elite athleticism and, you know, elite finishing ability. But for the most part, when you watch Westbrook make his drives, especially in the half court, he's not James Harden. He's not, you know, a bunch of fancy dribbles to get the defender teetering one way or the other before exploding with the first step. Westbrook kind of has that lullaby back and forth dribble, very slow, very methodical, and then he decides he's going to go and takes two really huge steps and then jumps, soars through the air when he's attacking the rim in the half court. Gets it, you know, rocks his defender back and forth back to about the free throw line, so about 15, 16 feet away from the rim. And then he explodes. One, two step, jump. So that's Westbrook's ability to attack the basket. So his handles are just, you know, they're a little messy at times, and that led to his six turnovers. I feel like he's, you know, needs to maybe pick and choose his spots a little bit better as far as when to attack, when to, you know, pull it back out and slow things down, get into the half court. You know, it's hard for me to be overly upset at him as far as his offensive game in this one, and for the fact that he did, you know, roll his ankle at the start of the game. So that can't have felt good to play on that for the majority of this game. And then James Harden with his another, you know, frustrating shooting night for James Harden, but he did still finish the game, 35 points. You know, and I know he's kicking himself for missing, you know, the layup that could have helped win them the game. But they lost this one because they didn't try for the first 2.5 quarters. And that's what it really boils down to, is it boils down to the effort. Because this team, when they try, they're, you know, I'm not going to say they're unbeatable, but the effort level wasn't there and it showed for 2.5 quarters. And then once they did actually put forth an effort, they were playing better than the Knicks were. But it was too little too late and, you know, Knicks come away with a W. I think that's kind of my main takeaways from this one. Jeff Green, I think, is still playable. You just got to expect a little bit more from him. 0 rebounds as the backup center is not ideal. You know, need to expect better of him. And just defensively, the entire team has to step it up a little bit. You know, they allowed, 7 different Knicks players to score in double figures? Yeah. Randall, Harkless, Barrett, Portis, Robinson, Nilakita, and Ellington. 7 different Knicks players scored in double figures in this one. Their bench points were unbelievably stacked in favor of... Yeah, hang on, where'd it go? Oh, I didn't have it written down, and I can't do all this math. There's too many numbers floating around there. The Knicks bench dominated the Rockets bench. Just 24 points off the bench for the Rockets, 11 for Gordon, 9 for McLemore, and just 4 for Jeff Green, nothing for Austin Rivers. Meanwhile, the Knicks bench, again, there's a lot of numbers over there. It's like 60-something points off their bench. 60-something? 15. Hang on, we're going to try this. All right, 15, 11, 26, 38, 44, 59. There we go, almost 60. 59 bench points for the Knicks to just 24 by the Rockets. That's a pretty big disparity there for the whole, you know, do your job mob that's supposed to be, you know, holding things down as the bench unit for the Rockets. Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, they need to dust themselves off. And here's the thing, is maybe they can use this loss against the Knicks, which is obviously a frustrating loss. Maybe they use this one as a springboard into dominating the Clippers come Thursday night. That'd be the dream scenario. You know, ideally, maybe this is the last bad loss of the season, the last loss that they try to blame on effort or intensity. They come out and they kick the Clippers' ass on Thursday night. That would be the ideal scenario, because then you win against the Clippers, you leapfrog them in the state. Well, you won't leapfrog them anymore, unfortunately, unless somehow the Clippers slip up against the Thunder Tuesday evening. If the Clippers do lose against the Thunder Tuesday evening, then there is a chance, because at that point, then you'll be exactly a game back still of the Clippers. You could then theoretically leapfrog them in the standings and take over the third seed. So there's still a chance going on there. But that'd be great if they can take this loss and actually, you know, a silver lining from it would be take it, you know, internalize it, realize what you did wrong, understand that you have to come out every single game, no matter who the opponent is, no matter if it's the Boston Celtics or the New York Knicks, and you have to come out with the right intensity, with the right mindset to start things off. They come out, if they can come out with the right intensity and the right energy against the Clippers, I feel pretty good about that game. I feel like the last, you know, couple times that they've played, basically every game that they've played against the Clippers this year has been close. You know, and the one game that they did lose, they lost on a Westbrook three-pointer that was wide open. And Westbrook doesn't shoot those anymore. Well, he does shoot the wide open threes now, but, you know, in rhythm, and I feel like at the end of a game, he's not going to take a wide open three unless he absolutely has to. And last note from this game before we get out of here, the Rockets are now officially 0-1 when James Harden wins the tip at the start of a game. So maybe James Harden winning the tip isn't a good thing. That's where I will leave things off for. So as always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.